We're going to look today, it's kind of a Thanksgiving message. To be honest, I'm not as big fond of seasonal messages, but sometimes you got to do that as a pastor and it's all good. But anyway, I was looking at something, kind of thinking, and I was thinking about the big three. Now, the big three is located several times in Scripture, and also a lot of people who are superstitious, which I am not, they say everything happens in threes. Have you ever heard that one? You know, so I don't. I think that's a little bit superstitious. So I don't go by superstition. I try to go just by what God's Word reveals. But you know, given everything that's kind of going on these days, you know, out in the world, have you all found out it's kind of harder and harder to be a happy camper all the time? You know, To be honest, I don't camp. I know Pat and Shannon love camping. Maybe some of you guys do. I don't. Maybe it's some of the bad experiences I had as a kid. Back when I was a kid, I did not have a tent. You know, this is my grief, heartache, and woe story. When I would camp out, I would just take a sleeping bag and I would lay out on the ground and, you know, out in the elements and stuff. And I just never enjoyed that. And I usually never made it all night. I usually would go home about 4 a.m. or 3 a.m, throw a pizza in the oven, fall asleep, and wake up to a burnt offering. You know what I mean? With the smoke alarm going off. You know, so that was my historical event of camping. I just want to tell another story. We haven't done it. We ought to do this. But when we first started the church, somebody had a great idea of going camping. So we went out to Dave Morgan's farm, and he had a pond. And we all went out there, and, you know, we had tents that time, praise God, you know. And Jason, he had a family function and something going on, so he come out late. And that was before cell phones were really popular. And here's Jason coming down over the hill through the weeds, and the hay was all growed up tall. And he was heading towards the pond. And we just watched. There's nothing we could do. Then at the last minute, he turned right. Praise God. That car would have went out in the water. You know, but we couldn't stop him because we didn't have cell phones. I mean, that's how far back it was. But then, you know, we all went to sleep. And there was a rabid coon, but that's a story for another day. We dealt with that. But woke up in the morning, and for whatever reason, the whole tent was dripping water. Now, I know condensation, how it works, but boy, that was miserable. And that's another bad experience camping for me. So that's why, you know, I'm a happy camper unless I go camping. You know, and we woke up and, you know, we put our beds on horse weeds and they were coming up through the air mattress. It was just a disaster. But we had a good time of fellowship. I remember at least one person's life was changed. So it was all worth it. That was good. But, you know, being a happy camper is somewhat difficult. And it seems like there's always somebody somewhere out there just trying to steal our joy in life and try to make life less enjoyable as it could be. Now, did you know we're out of God's will if we're not joyful? That's what the Bible says, and we're going to look at that a little bit. Now, we should not allow our attitude to be controlled by other people, and that happens, doesn't it? We let other people have that over us, and it gets us into trouble. But the truth is, when we're in Christ, we have potential to tap in to a new way of living, a new lifestyle that we can, you know, start to live under, and we can live above our circumstances, and that's what we need to get to. And that only happens when we stop letting other people have power to control our emotions. When you let somebody else control your emotions, you're giving them power over your life. Now, the scripture we're going to look at is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. And we're going to look at the first part of the big three. These are three big things in our life that you and I can do. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the time that we have together here. We pray that your anointing will just be strong here to be able to deliver us and to be able to set us free, and Lord, to make an impact and an impartation in each of our lives. Lord, I thank you that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and Lord, we just thank you that you're moving right now in our midst. I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. And Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, these three things, as it says, is God's will for our life. Now, I don't know about you, but I, as a pastor, I get asked quite frequently by people saying they don't know what God's will is. They want to know God's will. Well, I do know what they're really actually saying, in the sense they want to know more of a vocational thing about, you know, maybe something that they're going to live out or act upon that way. But what we see here, I found out in my life, and I'll just tell you what works for me, and I believe it'll work for you. If you do God's word, the rest will take care of itself. If you get into God's word and let God's word start to mold you and make you, and you start to make decisions based upon God's word, and you start to walk in that, doors are going to fly open. Simple as that. But see, we got to do what the word says. Now, the first thing it talks about here, in verse 16, it says, rejoice always. Now, so we're going to look at rejoice. Now, rejoice, you know, always or in all ways, how I like to look at it. You know, we need to be able to learn how to rejoice in all ways, because there's so many different things in this world that try to pull us down and pull us back. Because what we're going to look at, we're going to see that if we can learn how to do these three things, not only will we be in God's will, but we're going to have the ability to live above our circumstances. And that's where we need to be. We need to be out there. Now, I don't know about you, but is it hard to be joyful? I know, you know, we're not machines. Don't get me wrong. I know you're going to have a bad day every now and then. But, you know, if the bad days become consecutive and you start to see yourself diminishing and being sucked down by the things of this world, then maybe you need to reevaluate a couple things. Now, have you ever been around Debbie Downer or Bobby Bummer? You know, these are two friends I'm sure that we all have. I hope we're not one of them. If you are Debbie Downer or Bobby Bummer, raise your hand. No, don't raise your hand right now. But we all know those kind of people. Debbie Downer, whatever goes on in life, it's always a problem. And Bobby Bummer's the same way. Now, maybe the kids don't say bummer no more, but when I was in the 70s, when I was raised, bummer was a big word. You know, it's a bummer. School's a bummer, you know. These things are a bummer. Now, I personally liked school because it got me off the farm, but you know what I'm saying with that. Now, I've learned in life, if you know somebody and you've already are pretty well witness to the fact that this person is a Bobby Bummer or a Debbie Downer, the last thing you want to do, and this is just free advice, don't go up and ask them how it's going, because they will tell you. And it's going to be a real long session of telling you everything that's going wrong in their life. And it's going to drag you down. You know, I've just learned to never do that. You know, I just say, hey, hello, and move on. You know, unless I really want to get into a deep counseling session. You know, because they'll take you through that familiar list that they all have of everything that's going on. Starting with the pain in their body and going on to the pains in their family. Now, I'm not trying to be unsympathetic here, but I think, you know, some of that is a little bit ridiculous. You know, where you start to accentuate all the bad and you don't try to look for any of the good. Now, we do know in Scripture, just to clarify, there's a difference between being happy and being joyful. And the Scripture is different, because happiness that you and I probably experience sometime is, you know, is difficult, I believe, is because you and I live in a problem-based environment where there's problems around us all the time. And it's so easy to buy into those problems. And if we allow our happiness, now, happiness to me is derived from circumstances. If you have a good job, you're making decent money, things are going good in your marriage, stuff like that, happy. But how about things kind of go south a little bit? How about the company hires somebody that really irritates you? Just irritates you. And then The boss puts you and that person together to work on a project. Or they work right in your area. And you have to deal with them all the time. And before you know it, your happiness is kind of leaving you. And then things start to happen. But see, the truth is, that's circumstance-based. And you're allowing your circumstances to dictate how you're going to live your life. Now, what we need to do, because be honest, we're getting bombarded all the time. The media gets more listeners selling bad news. More people like to tune in and follow news stories that deal with something wrong going on than they do what's going right. And it's sad to say, but that's just the way it is. And I found that, you know, we usually find out what we're looking for out of life based on how we see things and how we perceive the world around us. And that's why it's good to kind of look at yourself a little bit, you know, maybe even turn your cell phone on and record yourself when you're talking and then to play it back to yourself and just see what's coming out of your mouth. Is it based on circumstances? Are you saying this or that? Or are you truly joyful? Because what I found out that joy that you and I can walk in, even though things are going bad in your life, is based on the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, you know them. See, those are Spirit-derived, and that's by the Holy Ghost. And see, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us once we become a Christian. And so we have the potential to be able to be joyful in the face of bad times. Now, I'm not silly that when I walk out to my truck and I see a flat tire, I don't say, praise the Lord. You know, I've seen Christians do that, and I just look at them like, are you crazy? That's not being, you know, I'm joyful I have a spare, praise God. Or I have something to be able to fix my tire. Or a place I can take it to. You know, so not everything, you know, goes the way we do. But, you know, we can have that kind of joy because our joy is based on our position in Christ. Now, that's what we have to remember, and this is where we mess up a little bit. You know, we go through life as a Christian, and we kind of maybe go through the motions. We go to church, we go home, we do our thing, may tune into, you know, one of the Christian radio stations or listen to a podcast, and before you know it, things just kind of get into a routine, and we kind of forget about our position in Christ, but, you know, you just need to take a moment and just think about what God thinks about you. What does God think about you? You know, we look at other things going on in the world, but you know, if we remember the position that Christ put us in, that we're higher than the angels, and that Jesus Christ died for us and that we're to rule and reign with Him, it kind of changes our perspective sometimes. Helps us see. The Bible even says the joy of the Lord is your strength. There's a lot of strength that comes from biblical joy. That we can be joyful, you know, in the Lord and what it happens. And what I think is that joy comes because it's based on our future total salvation. We've been saved now. You've been born again. You've been transferred into the kingdom of light. But we're still under construction until Jesus Christ comes again for the church, which we call the rapture, the great parousia, where we're taken away. You know, maybe the dead, maybe we'll die before He comes. If He does, then the dead in Christ will rise first, but those who are alive will be caught up in the air. I don't know about you, but that's joyful stuff. You know, that's good news because we know that God loves us. He's coming back for us. So we just keep our faith focused on that. And, you know, Jesus in Hebrews chapter 12, too, you have to really look at it in the Greek a little bit to kind of get the true meaning of it. But the Bible says there that Jesus, you know, had joy that was set before Him, endured the cross. Now, what kind of joy was set before Him? He was looking ahead to see what He was going to be restored and put back to His rightful place at the right hand of the Father. So He was able to endure the cross, all the beating, all the things that He went through. He loved. He did it for us, but also the fact He could look ahead and He could see that joy that He was going to be put back to where He was supposed to be. You know, true believers have a joy that is powered by hope. We have to have hope. Sometimes we lose our hope. You know, the Bible talks about the blessed hope of the second coming, as I just was mentioning. You know, the fact that, you know, we are we're a different class of people when we've been born into the kingdom of God. That as Christians, you know, God has set us apart because He's called us out and He's called us in to what He has. Now, joy manifests, I believe, when we can see the present good for the future happiness. The present good for the future happiness. So I encourage you to be joyful and to be hopeful. Hopeful of what's coming in each of our lives. Now the second part of this in the big three is talking about praying. Now we just did a series on prayer, so I'm not going to go into this that far. But it says to pray without ceasing. I don't know about you, but that's almost impossible. So it must be kind of meaning something else to you and I. Because most of you probably have jobs that you have to go to. And I don't know, is there anybody here really gets paid to pray? I mean, by your employer? Probably not. I mean, how would you like to clock in and then you head off to a room all by yourself and the boss says, where are you going? Oh, I'm going to pray. You know, I'm going to go pray for your business. He goes, no. You're going to go out here and do what I hired you to do. So what is this talking about when it says pray without ceasing? I think it's talking about, to some degree, to be a person of prayer. You know, we don't have to pray all the time, but we always can be at a place of connection with our Heavenly Father. We know that we're connected with Him, and then in the spur of the moment, if needed, that we can communicate and we can shoot up a prayer to God and talk to Him. You can do that wherever you're at. You know, I encourage kids to pray at school. You know, there used to be where they tried to kick God out of school, and I just laughed. You know, they say they kick God out of school. The only way they kick God out of school is if they kick God out of your kid, right? Because God's inside them. They can pray anywhere they want. They don't have to make a big deal about it. And see, that's the kind of person we need to be, is that I think that prayer keeps us connected and helps us remember we're not alone. Because I've watched people who go through severe problems in their life, both emotionally and physically. And whether it's through the passing of a loved one, through a marital problem, through relationship issues. And what usually happens is that they get so focused on the problem and they lose their connection they feel with God and they feel all alone. And see, when the enemy, Satan, gets us to feel that we're cut away from the crowd and we're out here all alone trying to deal with this major problem in our life, and I'll be honest, you know, when you're going through emotional turmoil, sometimes due to the fact of that desperate feeling, sometimes it's hard to feel really connected to God. So then you're going by your feelings and you're not going by faith. And so when these things happen, we can easily plunge into a place where it's very desperate situation. But see, God has a better plan, and I believe by staying connected, of course, with each other is important. I hope you have somebody in your life you can go to and to ask to pray for you and to encourage you. But primarily, also, is just to keep that communication together with God. Stay connected to God. Pray to Him. Because what happens when you enter into depression, and I believe the Holy Spirit is leading me this way right now to talk to somebody. When you enter into depression, you just want to sleep and you want to stay away from people. You don't want to be around other people. So you... And that's just the tool of the enemy. So I encourage you just to fight through this. See, these are things to help us to stay in the will of God. You know, when we rejoice and when we pray. So all these things are very important because, you know, and I'll be honest, that's if you get into a position where you're really depressed and discouraged, you know, that is probably the worst time to make a major decision. Because what happens, and I'm just telling you from a pastor's perspective, I've watched a lot of people make some decisions in their life when they were in a vulnerable position, and the majority of those decisions sent them into a worse place. So it's a time where you need to really regroup and stay close and to have people in your life to be able to assist you and to be able to help you so you can get through this, and that'll help us to have that victory. Because, you know, God does not want you and I to have a circumstance-based relationship. And I've watched this in a lot of marriages. You know, they only love the other person when they feel that, you know, the other person loves them back. And that's when it gets into trouble. It gets a little dicey then. Because everybody goes through problems from time to time. And when those things happen, it can easily cut us from the herd. And then these things get to happen, then we feel vulnerable. And usually what I've witnessed is that usually people will not accept their own failure. It's at those times they blame God. They blame God for the problem. Because God didn't step in the way they thought He should have. And, you know, that's a dangerous place to be. So we kind of went off on a little tangent there, but that's all good. All right, so we've looked at rejoice, and we've looked at pray. Now we're going to talk about giving thanks, because Turkey Day is coming, right? Thursday. Amen? Going to get some turkey. And that's a good thing. Turkey's good. And it's tasty. But mainly, the benefit of this holiday is talking about giving thanks. And how we need to develop that attitude, what we like to say, of gratitude, right? The attitude of gratitude, being thankful. Now, culturally, I believe our country, I mean, there are so many changes going on. I mean, I'll be honest, in the last several years, just how things just boomed, you know, from this, go all the way to the right to all the way to the left, and just swerving this way and that way. I mean, our culture is in one ditch or the other, and they go to extremes, and that's kind of what we're dealing with. And I think that somewhat we live in a culture that has went from, you know, the majority of people are not thankful, but now they have an I deserve it mentality. And that's something that we have to deal with. Especially as Christians, you know, we cannot develop that attitude, especially in our relationship with God. You know, now that I'm a Christian, I deserve this from God. You know, that God has to do this for me. And it's a dangerous road that we get down. Now, as a man, you know, I try to be a nice guy, you know, as well as a happy camper, amen? You know, as a man, you know, I've held some doors for women in my day. You know, and you know, you see them coming, and I'll wait until they get up there, and I'll open the door for them. I'll hold it for them. And the majority of them say thank you. But have you ever held the door for somebody and they never acknowledged anything? Now, I'll be honest, I don't do it for the thank you. But that just sticks out to me, that this person has some sort of an I deserve it mentality where they cannot acknowledge one little thing of kindness. I mean, how hard is it to say thank you? You know? And see, that's kind of culturally what we've gotten to in our life, where we feel that, you know, we deserve certain things, and that, you know, I don't have to be appreciative for anything. And that's very dangerous territory. Now, just to clarify, when it talks about, you know, in everything give thanks. Now, what I feel is be thankful in all things, but not for all things. You know, like I said, the flat tire story earlier. You know, I'm not thankful when I get a flat tire, but I'm thankful that I have the ability to deal with it. You know, I'm not thankful for every attack that Satan brings against my family and myself. But I am thankful for God's grace that helps me to deal with that attack. You know, being a Christian is a battle sometimes, and the things that we have to deal with. And if you can keep a good attitude during the process, well, then you're well on the way to be able to walk in victory. Now, what I found out in my life is that, you know, we all go through hard times. We cannot let hard times define us, but hard times will refine us. Hard times refine our faith. And that's why the Bible says in James, count it all joy when you go through trials, because it tests our faith. And it starts to be able to do a process inside of us of purification and helping us to be a better Christian and somebody who can walk in the faith in a better way. Because that's the overall goal that you and I should have in our life, that we grow in Christ. And so being thankful is one of those things that we do. And to be around somebody that's thankful is really a lot funner than being around somebody that's not. Now, a good godly attitude will navigate us through some of the rapids of life, right? You know, those things that we have going through there. Now, you know, I'm not talking about just being naive, but I'm talking about being able to stay tuned in and connected to our Heavenly Father. And that's going to help us to live above those circumstances. Because, you know, I found that, you know, back to Debbie Downer and Bobby Bummer, I found in my life, when I count my blessings, I'm a lot better off than when I count my problems. Now, some people, their job, they've figured out, is to count their problems. And over a process of time, they start to major and accentuate those problems, and before they know it, their problems are bigger than their blessings. But if we can get to the place in our life and in our walk with God that we start to count the blessings. Now, maybe you can only think of a few right now. You know, maybe you're going through a terrible attack in your life. Maybe you have physical infirmity. Maybe you have marital issues. Or maybe you have, you know, work issues, financial issues. There's a lot of issues out there that we have to deal with as Christians. But if you can just get to the place to focusing on the good and asking God to give you the grace to deal with the bad, you're going to start to walk in a different place of victory, because you're going to be able to rise above your circumstances. And that's going to put you into a different class of Christian, in a sense, where, you know, you're going to start walking in victory. So I found, if I focus on the good, because I think we can all look around and see somebody that we think is better off than we are. And we can develop that kind of sort of a jealousy. You know, one thing about this passage of Scripture, when it talks about the big three, you know, it talks about rejoice, you know, and the joy of the Lord. Then it talks about prayer. Then it talks about giving thanks. I think it's interesting that God placed prayer right in the middle of that sandwich. You know, I think prayer is the meat that you and I really need to do, but it's the thing that we probably run to least, in the sense as, you know, wanting to deal with a lot of different problems. So, you know, I think that we're commanded to rejoice in these situations. And what I found is that constant connection helps us to walk in continual thanksgiving. Staying connected to God. You know, a key to victorious living is learning how to rejoice, to pray, and to give thanks. And it's so simple. You know, you kind of, if we're not careful, we can easily just take these three things for granted. But I think if we consciously just stand back for a moment and we start to just kind of look at these three things in our life on how we can start to try to implement them, I believe that we're going to walk in a different place, in a place where God wants us to be. Amen? That's what God has for our life. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we honor you today. We thank you, Lord, that we know that you are a good God and that you've called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Lord, we thank you that we are to give thanks. And Lord, let it not just be a traditional thing that we just do at a holiday time. But Lord, we do want to get to the place where we walk in continually thanksgiving, because we are a rejoicing people, because we stay connected to you through prayer. Maybe you've heard me today talking about this kind of relationship, about, you know, being raptured and getting to go to be with Jesus and, you know, all these things and, you know, how this takes place. Well, number one, the Bible says you must be born again. Meaning you have to be born the second time. And it's talking about a spiritual rebirth. You know, we're born the first time a sinner, separated from God due to the sin of Adam. And there's nothing that you and I can do about that, changing that state on our own. No matter how nice a person we are, how many people we go out and help, and over how many organizations that we're a part of, or how much money we may give and donate into the poor, none of that can change where our position is in life, because the Bible says you must be born again. And that's talking about coming into relationship with Jesus Christ. And that only happens, number one, when we repent and we turn from our sins, knowing that we cannot save ourselves. And we surrender our life to Jesus Christ and let Him take control. And if you're here today and you've never done that in your life, and you want to say, I feel the Holy Spirit touching my heart, do not resist the knock on the door of your heart by the Holy Spirit. But you say, yes, that's me, Pastor Brad. I want to surrender my life to Christ today. Just slip up your hand if you like prayer for that. Or maybe you have done it when you know you need to come back to God. You made that decision in the past, but you have allowed some things to come in where you feel somewhat disconnected, not as close to God as you know you should be or you could be. And you're saying, yeah, Pastor, that's me. I need to come back. I need to get back to the place where I need to be. Just slip up your hand. Amen. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Amen. Eric, you want to come up here? Amen. We're going to pray with you. And anybody else like prayer for this? Hallelujah.